learning Torah on a Sunday morning. We are going to learn today some of my favorite lessons from Sefer Kohelet. Sefer Kohelet is a book, already from the first word, Divrei. We know it's going to be tough stuff. Shlomo HaMelech doesn't sugarcoat anything. And already in the second pasuk, in your source, I always forget to number sources, so it's the first source on the source packet, says Shlomo HaMelech, a very, very famous pasuk, Hevel Havalim Amar Kohevet, Hevel Havalim Hakol Hevel, just in case you were wondering, Hevel Havalim, what is Hevel? That stuff that comes out of your mouth when you exhale, that's heavy. But in Shlomo HaMelech's literature, Hevel is inyano davar she'en bo mamash, something that lacks substance. Hevel asher b'shum ofen lo yitzmach mehem tachlit. In no way is anything purposeful going to come from it. Hevel is something that has no meaning, no substance, no purpose. With that in mind, let's count. This is the second pasuk of the book of Kohelet. Usually when an author starts a book, you start out something nice, something sweet, something to get you interested in the book. And he, without sugarcoating anything, Hevel Havalim, Amar Kohelet, Hevel Havalim, Hakol Hevel. Everything is Hevel. Hevel, one. How many Havalim do we have in this pasuk? Hevel is one. One nothingness. Then Havalim. Havalim is plural, so you got at least two. Amalke. Again, Hevel, one. Havalim, two. Hakol, Hevel. Seven nothingnesses is in this world. What? Maza bichlal? A little bit of introduction. The book of Kohelet is a book where King Solomon tries to figure out the problems in life. You know, life's hard. Tough stuff happens. Shlomo HaMelech tries in this book to delve into the problems of life, the meaning of life, the essence of life. What's it all about? And so when that's your topic, you gotta be honest and you gotta just cut right to the core. And that's what he does in the first pasuk. I'm going to share with you one of my all-time favorite midrashim altogether and on this pasuk specifically. Let's take a look together. The next source says Shlomo HaMelech, there are seven Shiva Havalim Shama Kohelet, the seven Hevels, the seven nothingnesses that we just enumerated. Keneged Shiva Olamot She'adam Ro'eh. They are parallel to the seven stages that a person sees in life. Hevel, Havalim, Hevel, Havalim, Hevel. Those seven Hevels are parallel to seven stages of life. Let's see. Number one, Ben Shana, a person will pretty much pass through seven stages in life. Stage number one, Ben Shana, you're 1 year old. Domele Melech, you're like a 1 year old. A 1 year old is a stage. Yeah? 1 year old is a stage. A stage is like when you're a king. A 1 year old is like a king. Why? Why? Just ask any older sibling. They'll tell you because this kid is in his crib and kol mechabkim oto, menashkim oto. Everybody hugs them and kisses them and snaps photos of them and posts pictures of them. How come they forgot about me? I'm the one bringing home the report cards. This little kid is doing nothing. Ben shana dome le melech. Stage number one, you're going to be a king. Number two, second stage, ben shnatayim v'shalosh dome le chazir. But you get demoted from your kingship very quickly, because in stage two, when you're 2 years old and 3 years old, like early childhood, you're compared to a pig. There's nothing wrong with that, but we all know 2 years old and 3 years old, like you play in the mud, poshet yadav beyabibin, you go in the muddles and in the puddles, and you make a mess, basically. Okay, whether it's a puddle or it's a peanut butter, you make a mess. That's when you're 2 and 3 years old. Next stage, ben eser, not early childhood, but like later childhood, kofetz kegdi. Then you are egdi, a goat. So you went from being a king to being a pig to being a goat. And the exact numbers, if you're 2 or 3 or 10, they're irrelevant. We're kind of trying to see stages. You're like a goat. What's the job of the goat? A goat is a pleasure-seeking animal. You don't see a goat like, you know, pulling wagons or people riding on a goat to get across the desert. The goat is a pleasure-seeking animal. job of a 10-year-old is to have fun, really. That's the job of a 10-year-old, like just enjoy life and explore and learn. Kofetz kmugdi, 10-year-olds, they jump. I know, I have three trampolines in my house. You could see what stage my kids are in. Yeah, you're supposed to jump. Ben esrim, now we are graduating the stage of the goat. Some children stay in that stage a little bit longer than others. Ben esrim, kesus, you're like a horse. Oh, you're so beautiful, and you're so strong, and you're so mighty, and you're so desirable, and ba'i'itata, and you're looking for a spouse and for a mate, and everybody wants that beautiful horse. That's when you're 20. That's your early adulthood. Okay, after your horsehood, ask anybody who's been a horse and who found their spouse. Number 5, no se yishareu kachamo. Then you become a chamor. Chamor is a donkey. Why? Because then you have to carry the yoke of responsibility. You married somebody, now you have to, you know, put something on the table. So you become like a donkey. And that's the stage that you're in. Okay, then after donkeyhood, holid banim, then you start building a family. Then what? Me'iz panav ke'kelev. Then you're like a dog. Why? A dog, nothing is beneath the dog. Nothing is beneath the dog. If the dog has to get dinner from the alley, he's going to get dinner from the alley. Lehavi lechem u'mezonot. A person who has a family, nothing is beneath them. They could have a PhD, but if on the side they have to earn a living by doing X, Y, and Z for 4 hours a day, they'll do it because they have to earn a living. Nothing is beneath them because you know that you have responsibilities. After the dog years are over, then what? His skin, a person becomes older. Harehu kekof. Then person could become one of two choices, either like a monkey, or behamelech David Saken, or like a king. A monkey sometimes does funny things. Sometimes people look at older people and they don't understand. Person is always saying, "Why is a person doing this? Why is a person doing that? It doesn't make sense." Sometimes older people, they say things, they do things in a way that other people don't understand. Like a monkey, we look at a monkey and we point at a monkey and we say, "I don't understand. How can a monkey look? Everybody look." Sometimes older people, they do things differently than other people. So either a person is compared to a monkey, they do things, or they could be back to like a king. Back to being a king. Because who do we go to when we seek advice? We go to the older generation because they know better than us. They've been there and they've done that. So they go back to being a king. What is going on here? Why is Shlomo Melech taking us to a zoo? To Makorepo. I'll tell you why this is my favorite midrash. Says Shlomo HaMelech off the bat. Look, this book is about the hard problems of life. I'm going to kind of like sweep out the carpet from underneath your feet and tell you that life is very predictable. I see you're a little bit new on planet Earth. I'd like to give you some advice. Life is predictable. First, you're going to be a king. Then you're going to be a pig. Then you're going to be a goat. Then you're going to be a horse. Then you're going to be a donkey. And then a dog. And then a monkey. Ve'shalom al Israel. Okay? Okay. Now what? Good. Good question. Now what? Pretty much, we're all going to go through those phases in life. But life isn't about the phase that you're in. Because everybody's going to be a pig. And everybody's going to be a monkey. And everybody's going to be a donkey. We're all going to go through that phase. So it can't be that life is about being a horse. And it can't be that life is about being a donkey. Because we're all going to be donkeys. We're all going to have to break our backs making a living. Everybody. Who doesn't? We're all going to have to, go through being a goat, hopping its... So it can't be about being in that phase, because everybody's going to go through the phase. It must be that you have to do something in that phase to make that phase meaningful. Then you've understood the essence of the 7 stages that a person is going to go through life. This book is about purpose. This book is about priorities. You're being mighty horse, being a beautiful horse. It's part of what you're going to do on your stay on earth, but it's not what it's all about. Being a hardworking donkey or dog is part of what you're going to do, but it's not what life is all about. So what is life all about? Yofi, now we're talking. So now you know that it's not about being a dog. It's dog, me, dog, you, everybody. Everybody goes to work. Everybody. Now that we understand that it's not about doghood or donkey or monkeyhood, now what's the meaning of life back to square one? Now, notice I skipped to Perek Gimel because in Perek Be'alef and in Perek Bet, Shlomo HaMelech goes through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different attempts at finding out the meaning of life. I'm not going to go through all those five. They are fascinating. I'm kind of just going to, we're short on time, so I'm just going to kind of go to his conclusion. And his conclusion I'm going to go post-conclusion. His conclusion is one, it's a song, we all know it. Let's take a look. It says Shlomo Melech, Perek Gimel, on the bottom of the first page. Lakol zman. Ve'et lekol chefetz tachat ha-shamayim. Lakol zman. For everything there is a time. Ve'et lekol chefetz tachat ha-shamayim. For every et is a time. For every et there is a chefetz. What's a chefetz? Chefetz, I want you, desire. I desire that you do like this. I desire that you do like that. I request, please do like this. Please do like that. For every et, for every time, there's a requisite something that I want you to do. What does this mean? Many of the things which happen to us in life, they really are not in our control. They really are not in our control. Some things which happen to us are in our control. But if you think about the scenarios that God plops into your lap, many scenarios that God plops into your lap, they're really not so much in your control. Prior to coming to Perek Gimel, I know I skipped Aleph and Bet. I just kind of want to give you a glimpse of what happened there. Shlomo HaMelech, he looked high for the meaning of life. He looked low. He looked to the left. He looked to the right. He looked in the clubs, he looked in the books. He looked in wisdom, he looked in Facebook. He looked in the success manual, he looked in the university. He looked everywhere. And he didn't find the meaning of life because something always went wrong. And then in Perek Gimel, Shlomo Melech says, there's only one place I didn't search for the meaning of life. And that's under my nose, in front of my plate. I looked everywhere, but I didn't look here. The meaning of life is not a place that you have to get to, a place that you have to go to. When I achieve this, I will taste meaning. When I attain that, I will feel purpose. No, you will spend your whole life getting there, and once you're there, something's going to flop, we all know. Here, now, whatever stage you're at, whatever time you happen to be going through, that time is the magic answer to what is the meaning of life. So what's the meaning of life? Well, it depends. What's God throwing on your lap these days? What's on your plate these days? What's on your plate? There's so many times that a person can go through, so many different things that a person can go through. And every time you go through a time, right? A time that the person sitting next to you isn't going through that time. They're going through something else. Then Hashem is requesting chefetz, some kind of amal, some kind of toil that I want from you now, in this period that you're in now. So for instance, says Shlomo HaMelech in Pasuk Bet, et laledet ve'et lamut. There is a time to give birth. And there's a time to die. What do you mean? There's never a time to die. We're going to talk about that too. How could there be a time for that? Sometimes there's a time for that too. Et latat ve'et lakor natua. There's a time to plant, but sometimes you got to uproot that thing. Lakor natua. You have to uproot that which you planted. Why would you want to do that? Leave that beautiful thing alone. But sometimes it's time to uproot. And I'm going to come back to these and we're going to open these up. Et laharok ve'et lirpo. There's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. You know, King David, he wanted to, in his deepest recesses of his heart, the one thing he wanted to do always was to build the temple. And the one thing he wanted to do, and who would have been the best person to do it? Only him. Nobody better to do it. The person who did it wasn't the best man for the job. the person who did it, his son, wasn't the best man for the job. King David was the best person to build the temple. God said, no. Why not? Because you have a different job to do. What's your job? I want you to be Ish Milchama. You have to be a man of war. There's a lot of killing you got to do. Well, it's not what I want to do. It wasn't my plan. Lakol zman ve'et lekol chefetz. You wanted to build the holy temple, but your job is et laharog. Now is the time to kill. You have to kill. Israel is not secure. Israel is not safe. There are people who want to swallow you up alive. You have to kill first, and then there's going to be a time for yielding. So the person who would have been the best man for the job didn't even get to do it because that's not the chefetz, that's not the requisite toil that God wanted from him. Et lifrotz ve'et livnot, end of Pasuk Gimel. There is a time to break and there is a time to build. Chazal in the Gemara and Masechet Megillah, you don't have it, they say about this as follows. The Chazal tell us, "Im yomru lecha zkenim, stor." If the elders tell you, break that down. Ve'yeladim bene. And if the younger people tell you, shh, don't break it down, build that up. Who should you listen to? Stor ve'al tivne. Break it, don't build it. Listen to the elders. Why? But they're telling me to break. Breaking is ugly. We all know how much breaking hurts. But if the younger people are telling you, build it, build it. And the older people are telling you, break it, stova ativne. Why? Because stirat skenim binyan. When the older people break something down, it's constructive. There is building in there. V'binyan ne'arim stira. And sometimes when the young people want to build, it's destructive. And you can, it's kind of open-ended, and you can think of your own examples. One example that's given is when King Rehoboam ascended to the throne, and he didn't know if he should keep the taxes high like his father. He asked the elders, and they said, break it. Break this ironclad heavy taxes. And the youngsters told him, they told him, don't break it. You build tough with an iron fist. He listened to them, and it cost him his whole kingdom. Sometimes breaking something, don't put another brick on that, fill in the blank. Every person can think of another scenario. Don't put one more brick in that conversation, relationship, I don't know. Figure it out. Everybody can think of something. Yeah. Sometimes not building has more construction than building. Et livkot ve'et lishok, a time to cry and a time to laugh. Et sefod ve'et rekod, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So many kalas, they tell me, you know, why do people always give me advice? The first year of marriage is so hard. Like, I want to be a bride. Don't tell me the first year of marriage is so hard. Can you dance with me? I know a kala, she just got engaged and she looked off. I said, Makara. She said, everybody's telling me it's so hard, it's so hard, it's so hard. Poor, her kala teacher could tell her it's so hard. Fine. But like everybody else, et rekod, you know, la 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 la. You know, make some music. Make her happy. Make her, it's time to dance. Then when she has a hard time, no, then you're going to give her 2 cents of advice. But when it's time to dance, dance. And then when it's time to do something else, then something else. Et lahashlich avanim ve'et knos avanim. There's a time to break away the stones, to throw away the stones. And there's a time to put together the stones, to gather the stones. Gathering stone, there's lots of, it's open-ended. It's a metaphor. You can make it apply however you want. I'm giving you one example that that the Midrash gives. Et kenos avanim, when you put stones together, picture building a fence. There's a time to build a fence. And then there's going to be a time, pew, you take your foot, you knock off that fence, and everything will go down. Says the, I don't have it for you, but says the Midrash, when a woman is in a state of nida, then she has to et kenos avanim. She has to take the stones as much as she doesn't want to, and she has to make a fence between her and her husband et kenos avanim. She has to make a fence between her and her husband. We know there's so many things she cannot do with him, but when she is tehora and she can. Doesn't need that fence anymore. You give a kick to the fence, et lahashlich avanim, and then you could throw away those stones for however long you could throw them away for. And in the same breath, pasuk et lachabok ve'et lirchot mechabek. There's a time to hug, says Shlomo HaMelech, and there's a time to refrain from hugging, says the unklus. You don't have the unklus, but says the unklus on the spot. Et lachabok is when a woman is tehora, when a woman is pure, and she's not menstruating, then she can hug, and then she can embrace her husband, and then it's a time for hugging, and there's beauty, and there's greatness at the right time, in the right place. Ve'et lilchok mechabek, and there's a time to refrain from hugging, and there's a skill how to refrain. There's a skill how to refrain from hugging. Increase in conversation, increase in hot cocoa and yodatma. Every woman has her own special technique. There's a way not to hug. And there's a way not to hug. Et levakesh ve'et le'abed. There's a time to lose and a time to seek, a time to find. Sometimes losing, you know somebody, he lost something, or he was so sad, but he got something so much greater. Shaul HaMelech, he lost his donkeys. Ay, 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 it's like losing your BMW. He lost his donkeys, but what did he get? He got the kingship, right? When he went to search for those donkeys, those of you who remember, on the way he became king. Sometimes you have to lose. You have to lose. Sometimes it's better to lose than, God forbid, to lose something else. Sometimes you lose and you get something else. You get something greater. Et lishmor ve'et lahashlich, a time to hold on and a time to get rid of. It's a big chokhmah, to get rid. To get rid. Sometimes we have to get rid. Kabbalistically speaking, when we have things laying around in our house, things, they have like a spark of life to them, but when you don't use them, they suck the life out of you. There's a chokhmah to take your things and to get rid of them. Sometimes the Midrash explains if a person has money that was bequeathed to him, but it's not kosher money. It's money that was attained, that was begotten in a not good way, then you don't want that money in your bank account. Then you get rid of that money. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi how to get rid of it, but get rid of that money. Et latat ve'et la kornatua, that's the one in Pasuk Bet, which I didn't do with you yet. Maybe because that one is so hard to do. Time to plant and a time to uproot. You don't have the Kohelet Rabbah. I'm going to read you the Kohelet Rabbah. A time to plant, a time to uproot. Amar Rav Berechia, mashal lema davar dome. What can you compare this to, the planting and uprooting? Lemelech shehaya lo pardes u'masaro lebeno. Imagine a king, he has an orchard, and he says to his son, you know, honey, this orchard, I'm giving it to you. Kol zman shehaya beno oser etzono. So long as his son was doing the will of the king, haya hamelech ro'e ze netiya yafa be'olam. Whenever the king would see a beautiful plant, a beautiful fruit, a beautiful flower, he would take this beautiful thing and he would put it in his son's orchard. But when he saw his son was not doing his will, what would the king do? He would take a beautiful, beautiful plant from his son's orchard. And he said, I'm taking this beautiful plant away from you. And he would uproot it. This king is none other than Hashem. Hashem also has a time to plant and a time to uproot. Hapardes ze haolam. The orchard is our world. Ve'yesh omrim Yisrael, or we could say it's Bnei Yisrael. Kol zman shem osim ritzono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so long as we are doing the will of Hashem, hu roe ezet tzadik be'umot ha'olam, Hashem sees a righteous person among the Gentiles, kmo Yitro, Rachav, or Rut, some non-Jew who wants to convert, or Antoninus, or somebody like that, umevio umadbiko be'Yisrael. Hashem says, I'm going to take you, you beautiful, righteous Gentile, and I'm going to plant you in the Jewish people. But when we are not doing the will of Hashem, what does Hashem do sometimes? Roe ezet tzaddik. Hashem sees a tzaddik, a most beautiful, beautiful something in our orchard. A tzaddik. And sometimes Hashem will take that tzaddik away from us. It's so hard. It's so difficult, even for Hashem. Sometimes it's a time to plant, and sometimes it's a time to uproot. What is Shlomo HaMelech teaching us with all of these? Interestingly enough, there are 24 itim and 4 more, which are just kind of general catchphrases. Meaning in life is not about the attainment, like we said before, of a certain stage or some preset goal. It's about the here and the now. The process of getting there is not any less important as the getting there. You know, sometimes people say, I can't wait already. I can't wait to get married. And then she gets married and she says, I can't wait to have a baby already. And then she has a baby. And then she says, oof, I can't wait till this baby grows up already. Ma, how long does it take for babies to grow up? Well, you'll blink and they'll grow up. Mom, blinking all night long is not growing up. And then they grow up. And then you say, I wish they were babies again. Now I have college bills. And then person says, I wish I could just go to work already and start my career already. And then she's working and she says, when is it going to be vacation already? And then any stage we're in, sometimes we wait for attainment of purpose and meaning and contentment and tranquility and arrival when we get to a certain stage. But what we're learning, l'kol zman ve'et l'kol chefetz, the meaning is here. It's now. It's today. It's what's in front of your plate. Whatever is in front of your plate, that's where your meaning is. We're not saying don't have goals. We're not saying don't set far off goals for yourself. Do that, of course. But don't let the attainment of those goals be at the expense of your developing yourself and finding meaning in the process. Because the process is just as important, if not more so, than the goal. You know why? Because you might never see the fruit of your labor. They might snatch away the fruit of your labor. But something that they can never do is take away your work, your amal, your toil. A person can have a goal to go protect the land of Eretz Israel and enlist in Tzahal. And they will work, and they will work mesirut nefesh, self-sacrifice. And God forbid somebody falls. What are you going to say? Everything was worthless? No. For people who know the secret, you could take away the fruit of the labor, but you can never take away the labor. The knowledge that you extracted meaning and purpose in life, nobody can ever take that away from you. Nobody. Having said that, I'm going to skip a couple of chapters. We have touched upon a very, very big, strong point of essence and purpose. The first thing we said, it's not about the current stage you're in of donkeyhood or doghood or goathood. Everybody's going to go through that, more or less. It's about what you're doing to extract meaning while you're there. Okay. We also said the attainment of meaning isn't something far off. When I get there, you don't have to get to a certain stage. You can do that while you're a goat. You can do it while you're a dog. You could do it while you're a pig. You don't have to do it when you're a king, when you're much older already. I also told you that the book of Kohelet is about life's biggest problems. So I'd like to turn with you to Perek Zayin. What would you say is the biggest problem of life? Remember, Shlomo HaMelech doesn't sugarcoat anything. He's going to say it right to the core. What's the biggest problem in life? Death. People die. It's a problem. We want life. We want life to be meaningful. There's one thing that gets in the way. Death. In Perek Zayin, Shlomo HaMelech delves into this problem. And let's look at Pasuk Aleph, I have to warn you. Full of paradoxes. Pasuk Aleph. Tov shem mi shemen tov. Ve'yom ha-mavet me'yom hivaldo. Tov shem mi shemen tov. Tov shem. Better is a name, a good name, mi shemen tov, than good oil. What's oil? Anything that makes life oily. You know when you like to dip your things in olive oil? Like, anything that cushions life, status, honor, money, possessions, acquisitions, oil. It's oil. In one word, oil. Tov shem mishemen tov. Better than oily life is what? Shem. Is having a good shem. Having a good name. Notice the word shem are the two middle letters of the word neshama. Shem is essence. Shem is real stuff. Shem is what you did with yourself. Shem is essence. Better is a good name than good oil. Notice, ladies, to have a good name, you could be dead or alive. Doesn't matter. Whether you're alive or not is completely parenthetical. You can have a good name, not even be alive. Your good name, your good essence that you did, what you did with your neshama here, Tov Shem. It's better to have a good name than to have a lot of oil in life. You don't even have to be alive for it. Whether you're dead or alive is completely parenthetical. Oil someone can take away from you. Oil's not forever. Your oil someone can take away. Your Shem, your good name, no one can take that away. No one. Who's going to take that away? Somebody will try to besmirch your reputation? You know, kol ha-posel be-mumo posel. If somebody tries to say you're bad, they criticize you, usually it's a reflection of what something that's wrong with them. Nobody can take away your good name. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot tells us that Rabbi Yochanan, on page 2, Rabbi Yochanan, Havei Mesayim Safa de Iov, whenever he used to make a siyum on the book of Iov, who makes a siyum on the book of Iov? What's Iov even? You know, Job. Job. Who learns Job these days? I don't know. Like on Tisha B'Av, you learn a class on Job. Yeah? But like nobody... Truth is, he didn't learn. He didn't make a siyum like we make a siyum on Mishnayos or something. He made a siyum in real life. He lived the book of Iov. He lost 10 sons in his lifetime. One after the other. He lived the book of Iov. So when it says, Havei Mesayim Safra de Iov, he used to make a siyum on the book of Iov. He made a siyum, but not with brownies and chocolate cakes. He made a siyum. The Tosafot tells us that in his pocket, he carried, it says bone, but we explain that it's a tooth. He carried with him a tooth of his child who passed away, because a bone is mekabel tum'ah, it has to be buried, but a tooth is not mekabel tum'ah, so he could carry it with him. He would carry a tooth of his deceased child, and he would show it to people who would go through hardships. He would show it to people who themselves lost loved ones, chas v'shalom. And here's what he would say to them. Amar, hachi sof adam. He says, look what I'm holding in my hand. This is the end of all people. Sof adam lamot, sof behema l'shchita. All animals are going to be slaughtered. All people are going to die. Hakol emita hem omdim. Everybody is going to die one day. Ashrei, fortunate is the one, mishigadal batorah. Fortunate is the one who grew in Torah, ve'amalo batorah, and whose toil was in Torah, ve'ose nachat ruach leyotzro, and someone who made Hashem proud, ve'gadal b'shem tov, somebody who had a good name, ve'niftar b'shem tov, and also died with a good name. About such a person, alav amar Shlomo, tov shem yishem en tov v'yom amavet miyom yivaldo. About such a person, we can say, a good name is better than a lot of oil. And the day of death, yom amavet, okay, I could swallow that. A good name is better than good oil, I could swallow. But what's with the end of the pasuk? Yom amavet miyom yivaldo? The day of death is better than the day of birth? This is so pessimistic. This is, I want you to know, King Solomon's books were not going to make it into Tanakh. They were going to be rejected. You could see why. Here's a classic example. He says things that are so contradictory and he says things that are so pessimistic, they make you really give up on life. We have to understand, what does he mean? What is he saying? He's not telling us, God forbid, don't have children or celebrate or, you know, try to leave this world early. No. Here's what he's saying. Tov yom ha-mavet mi-yom hivaldo. I'm going to skip Kohelet Perek Vav for a second. I'm going to give you the mashal in the Kohelet Rabbah. Rav Pinchas amar, Tov shem mishem etov ve-yom ha-mavet mi-yom hivaldo. Nolad adam ha-kol smechim. He says, you know, the way of the world is a person is born, everybody is very happy. Met ha-kol bochim. A person passes away, everybody cries. Says Rav Pinchas, ve-eino ken. But you know, it shouldn't be so. Ela nolad adam ve-ein smechim lo. A person is born, you shouldn't really be so happy just yet. Shein yodim be'eze perek u'ma'asim ya'amod. You don't know what this kid's going to end up doing. He might give you white hairs until his last day. Im tzadik, im rasha, im tov, im ra. You don't know what this kid's got up his sleeve. You don't know how this kid's going to turn out. Ve'metem tzachim lismoach. But when a person passes away, there should be an element of person accomplished. Good for them. Good for them. Niftar b'shem tov. Look what good things they did in this life. Yatsa min ha'olam b'shlimut. They fulfilled their mission. They fulfilled the purpose for which they were created. Why were they not created 200 years ago? Because they weren't needed. They would have been extra baggage. So God created them now, because now there was something in the world which required the birth of this person. Ah, now the person goes back up. Must be that they fulfilled their mission and that they served humanity. Mashal, what can this be compared to? L'shnei sfinot porsot le'yam gador. To two large boats that are about to set sail in the large sea. Echat yotzat mila laman ve'echat nichneset la'laman. One boat is coming into the port and one boat is going out of the port. Where is the one that there's always a big celebration and people doing flags and candies and banners and streamers? When the boat comes home or when the boat goes? When the boat sets sail, we all saw scenes like that. Hayotzet min halaman, the boat that sets sail from the port, akol smechin, everybody's doing la 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 like this. Vanichneset lalaman, but the boat that's coming back to the port, lo samchula, nobody pays attention to it. Hayasham pikeach achat, there was one smart man at the port, amar lahem chiluf advarim anira. Hey guys, you're at the wrong party. The party's over there, but nobody's paying attention to him. Ani ro'e zu sha'aita yotzet min halaman, lo tzachim lismoach ima. He says, here's the way I see it. The boat that just left from port, why are we making a big parade for it? Lo yodim be'eze perek omedet, kama yamim mizdaveget la. We don't know what is going to be the fate of this boat. Kama alulim hem mizdavgot. Maybe pirates are going to attack it and it's all for nothing. Shenichneset lelaman? But the boat that's coming back to the port, hakol tzachim lismoach, shenichnesa leshalom. That boat is coming back to the port, but it served humanity. It did its job. It served humanity. Kach met adam, hakol tzrichim, quote unquote, lismoach. Of course we have halachot that we have to mourn and we have to cry and we have to rend our clothes, of course. Not telling you to be happy emotionally. The happiness that Shlomo HaMelech is telling us is an understanding that here is a person who served humanity and fulfilled their mission in life. And about such a person you can say, Tov Yom HaMavet. Not that it's preferable that a person die, but more like this. We thought 7 minutes ago that our biggest problem of life was death. And Shlomo HaMelech told us that's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is life without meaning. That's the biggest problem. Because a person can achieve in their lifetime, even if it's a short lifetime. Take a look at the pasuk that I skipped, pasuk vav. Ilu chaya elef shanim, pa'amayim. You could have a person who lives for 1,000 years, 2 times around. Or, according to another opinion, 1,000 years, 1,000 times around. Yeah, you can live for 1,000,000 years. V'tova lo ra'a. Doesn't mean you're going to see any good in life. Doesn't mean you're going to have a good life. You could live until you're 1,000. Doesn't mean that long is good. Doesn't mean that you're... Of course we wish a person until 120. We do. We do. But the implicit bracha is until 120 with meaning, with purpose, with attainment, with serving humanity. Everybody's going to end up in the same place. So a person can live for thousands and thousands of years. Your biggest problem isn't death. You thought death was your biggest problem. So Shlomo HaMelech is really not. Your biggest problem is if, God forbid, you don't make life count. making life count, making life meaningful. That's something we have to work on. And that's why in the next pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech can go on to say the following. Tov lalechet el beit evel milalechet el beit mishte. It's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a party. What? Nobody likes sad things. We like happy. People will say, how's your month? I don't know. Kind of like flat, kind of boring, nothing happy going on. Go to a house of mourning. What? How's that going to improve my lot? Go to a house of mourning. Be'asher hu sof kol ha'adam ve'achai yiten el libo. Because this is the end of all men. And the living have to pay attention. The living have to give heart. Have to take heed. Ve'achai yiten el libo. You think that that the reason you're not happy is because you're so sad. No. No, going to a sad place sometimes can be the cause of your life taking a turn for the good. It's so paradoxical. All the things which we thought are not good, they're bad, not comfortable, very, very bad. Says Shlomo HaMelech, hold it right there. Let's reevaluate that. And he reevaluates. The name of our class is Sof Davar, when all is said and done. I'd like to skip ahead with you to Perek Yud Bet, the last Perek of Sefer Kohelet, where Shlomo HaMelech tells us, look, after all is said and done, when everything has been said and done and you learned all about the meaning of life and who and what and how, when all is said and done, I want to give you my final message. And Shlomo HaMelech gives this unbelievable message which I'm going to learn with you. Pasuk Aleph is a simple message and then it gets really complicated. Zechor et borecha b'yemei bachurotecha. Remember God while you're young. Remember God while you're young. Don't wait to remember God when you're a monkey. Remember God when I say monkey, you know what I mean. That last. Remember God when you're young. Ad asher lo yavo alecha yemei. 5 minutes. Remember God before the difficult days come. Remember God before the days when you will say, oof, I don't want those days to come. And then you see a big chart. Shlomo HaMelech, he goes into this metaphor. I'm going to learn this metaphor with you and I'm going to learn it together with the Nimshal. Maybe we'll go through the metaphor very quickly once, and then we'll look at the Nimshal. Remember God, Ad asher lo techshach ha-shemesh, before the sun goes down, v'ha'or v'yareach v'ha-kochavim, and before the light and the moon and the stars go off, v'shavu ha'avim achar ha-geshem. Remember God before the clouds come after the rain, v'yom she'yazu shomrei ha-bayit. Remember God before the keepers of the house start to tremble. Remember God, v'itavtu anshei ha-chayil, before the strong men start to get cramps. Remember God, ubatlu atochanot ki ma'etu, and remember God before the grinders stop grinding. V'chashchu haro'ot ba'arubot, and remember God before those who look out the window become dark. V'sugru daltayim bashuk, and before the doors in the marketplace shut with a boom. Bishfal kol atchana, before the mills stop grinding. V'yakum l'kol atzipor, remember God before those days when you'll wake up to the sound of a bird. V'yisachu kol bnot ashir, and song will turn into conversation. Gam migavoha yerau, remember God before you have a fear of heights. V'chatchatim baderech, and before you have a fear of traveling. V'yenatza shaket, and before the almond starts to blossom. What's he talking about? Not sure yet. V'yistabel achagav, and remember God before you drag your grasshopper behind you. V'tafera evyona, and before the evyona starts to fall apart. Ad asher lo yiratek achevel hakesef, remember God before the silver cord snaps. V'terutz gulat hazahav, and before the gold fountain shatters. V'tishabel kad al hamabua, and before the pitcher will crack at the fountain. V'narotz hagalgal al habor, and before the wheel shatters in the pit. What is he describing here? Huh?
Beautiful language.
It's beautiful. What is he describing? Says Rashi, it's the process of the degeneration of the human body. I'm going to learn it all together with you now, with Rashi of the last column. Ad asher lo techshach ha-shemesh. Remember God before the sun goes down. Zupadachat, the sun is your forehead. You are my sunshine. Your forehead is your sunshine. When you have a smooth forehead, it's sun, says Rashi. But when you're older, there's a lot of wrinkles. It's a little bit less sunshine. Ve'ha'or ve'ha'yareach ve'ha'kochavim. Before the light goes down, that's your nose. Your nose is like lights up your face. V'hayareach, that's your neshama, that's your soul. V'hakochavim, your two little stars, or your two little dimples, your cheeks. Those are your cheeks. Remember God before the stars go out in your cheeks when you're older and your cheeks start to sag and you don't have stars inside of them anymore. V'shavu ha'avim achar ha'geshem, when the clouds will come after the rain, when your eyes will get cloudy from all the rain, from all the tears that you cried, from all the hardships of life. After that, at the end of our lives, we have clouds in our eyes that come. They make our vision blurry from all the tears that we cried. B'yom sheyazu'u shomrei habayit. Later in life, when the body starts to degenerate, the keepers of the house start to tremble. Those are the ribs, which are the keepers of the house. The ribs, they protect the internal organs. The ribs, they start to tremble and they start to shake, and we have tremors later on in life in our body. And when the strong men will start to be seized by cramps, the strong men, Ela Hashokim, those are the thighs. The thighs are like the strong men. Later on in life, when the body degenerates, they start to tremble, the thighs. Remember God before your thighs start to tremble. Ubatlu atochanot. And when the grinders will stop your teeth. When there will be not so many grinders. Why not? Because the most of them fall out. So there's not much left to grind. Remember God before your teeth fall out. V'chashchu ha'ra'ot be'arubot, and before your eyes stop working so good. Those who look out the window, that's your eyes. V'sugru daltayim One more minute, okay. V'sugru daltayim bashuk, and before the doors slam shut, those are our openings in the body where we go to the bathroom when we're older. Sometimes that doesn't work so good. Bishfal kol atchana, when our digestive process slows down and our tummy stops digesting things, and we wake up at the sound of a bird because we can't sleep and music bothers us. Oh, shut that noise! It sounds like conversation. It doesn't sound like music. And we are scared of heights and we are scared of going on a journey. Vayanatsa shaked, and the blossom, like the hip bone, which sticks out sometimes later on because a person doesn't have so much flesh covering their body, and the shaked, the almond, starts to blossom, which is the hip bone. V'yistabele chagav, and you drag your grasshopper behind. I'm sorry, says Rashi, that's the person's rear end. You used to hop with your rear end from place to place. When you're older, it feels like you have a sagging bottom that you're dragging behind you. Before, you have to drag your grasshopper behind you. Remember God. And I got the 1 minute stop, but you'll see the rest of the chart. You can look at Rashi, last two psukim, sof davar. When all is said and done, hakol nishma. When all is said and done, and you heard it all and seen it all and been through it all and lived through it all, et ha'elokim yira v'et mitzvotav shmo ki ze kol ha'adam. Fear God and keep the mitzvot, because that is the ultimate sof davar of what life is all about.